You are live.
Great, Jonathan. And Chair Trumbull, I'll pass it over to you. Did you want me to pull up the agenda on the screen?
I think so. Does Amanda, welcome, Josh, Clint, Pat. Does everyone have access to their agenda for tonight's meeting?
Yes. If not,
we'll just kind of follow along with what Will has mirrored his screen to.
Can you make that full screen, Will?
It's full screen on my computer. I think
you might. Maybe I can. Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm trying to use your buttons or mine.
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes.
I just zoomed in a bit.
I can zoom my screen too. That's better.
Okay. And Chair Trumbull, we don't. Don't have any business from the audience today. No one signed up to speak.
Okay, so there's nothing from the audience. And are there any agenda additions or corrections from any of the members?
I have none, Jack.
Thank you, Pat. So we do have items from members, and what I would, the only a correction that I would like to make, Will, is maybe before Article 5, we have Article 6, items from members, just so I can clarify some of our conversation between meetings regarding the deferred taxing districts, to put that in front of your administrator notes.
Okay.
So if we usually have a hard copy in front of us, but I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes from our February 20th meeting.
So moved, Jack. This is Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
This is Josh. I second that.
Thank you, Josh. Will, one of the things I saw in a previous meeting that you hosted, or maybe it was another Zoom meeting, was historically, Clint, we've done a roll call vote, but it doesn't work well on Zoom. So is there a way that we could just say if there's any abstaining from voting or if there's any nays?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Clint. I think I should abstain from this as I wasn't really on the, in the group until 10 minutes after this meeting was adjourned. So is that appropriate, Bill?
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So, I was there, but.
I think roll call is pretty good, actually, if there's going to be different, if people vote in different ways, because that's the only way we'll know who voted what way. But if it's unanimous, then there's kind of no ambiguity there. We know how everyone voted.
But, okay, so the only people that haven't voted are Amanda and myself. Amanda, are you there still?
Yes, sorry, I'm trying to finish up dinner for the kids. I vote yes.
And I vote yes as well to accept the minutes. And Clint abstains.
Okay.
And Tina votes yes.
Oh, hi, Tina. I didn't see you on my screen.
I'm here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
He also votes yes.
Okay. How do I? There you are. Hey, Abby. I didn't see you either. Okay. So one of the things that I had mentioned, maybe you were here already and I just didn't see you on the screen, is that we're going to move items from members in front of Will's presentation as the administrator. So I believe we're at items from members at this point. Change my screen, sorry. All right, I'm going to change my screen. One thing, I'll start this, and then if any of you have any ideas or anything that you'd like to talk about. I've had a meeting with Will and Hobie from the agency prior to this meeting, kind of with a little better understanding of what was presented and what was suggested, and what was relayed back to me was kind of discombobulated a little bit as far as this deferred tax increment spending. So, Will, and I'll give you a chance to correct what I'm saying in a moment, but I think it's important for Urban Renewal Advisory Council to understand that what the agency did was elected to defer a one-time payment to the specific tax districts. And within those tax districts, the city of Hood River is giving $250,000 as COVID relief, not Urban Renewal.
Correct.
So my take on it initially was guns a-blazing, just because I didn't feel it was within the scope of Urban Renewal for COVID relief. But after talking with Will, he explained to me kind of the mechanism is Urban Renewal is not giving the money, the city is. And Will, can you better explain that a little bit?
Sure, yeah, the city has the money specifically because Urban Renewal doesn't. Because Urban Renewal is not collecting it, is not holding on to it, for 1 year, assessed value is going on to the general rolls and being collected as general tax revenue by all the overlapping districts. And so each district then gets that the same as all their other property taxes, if that assessed revenue was no different than any other. And so they can use it at the direction of their governing board. So the city proposed that and wanted to do that because one, the Urban Renewal Agency has sufficient fund balance in all districts to continue activities unhindered in any way. So the waterfront stormwater line, planning for a parking garage or some other last project in the Cascade District, and continued planning in the Heights. There's enough money sitting in the bank account in each one of the districts to continue on that with or without collecting tax next year. So we felt it was appropriate, especially given all the revenue loss that our other overlapping districts are seeing, release that money to, and it goes to the county, 911 district, school district, port, community college, every other public service agency that levies a tax is gonna see a one-time bump to their revenues, which I think is gonna be very helpful to them. The city will also receive its proportion of that general assessment. And the city of Hood River, in our proposed budget, we did not need that to maintain current operations. We're lucky enough to have planned far enough ahead to build up significant reserves that are gonna hold us through for 1 year. So we are taking the one-time bump to the city, setting that aside for a yet-to-be-defined economic relief program if one is warranted and needed, and the council directs us to do so. But that's just how the city chose to use their portion. It's not, this will not take away from urban renewal activities or approved total spending of any of the urban renewal districts, totally separate from urban renewal. That's correct.
And Will, at the budget meeting, I recall somebody asking this. So if we suspend money flowing into urban renewal for a year, does it then get added on at the end of what would have been the sunset of this urban renewal district?
To some degree, yes. So basically the urban renewal collects until it reaches its authorized maximum indebtedness. Mm-hmm. And because it's not collecting for 1 year, it's not going to make any progress towards collecting that total amount. So it'll collect for a little bit longer until it reaches its maximum indebtedness.
Okay. And I guess I was thinking there was also a time limit. There isn't. It's just however long it takes to reach that number, the maximum indebtedness number.
There's also a time limit. And that is so far from controlling in each one of our districts that it's, I don't even remember the dates because especially the waterfront district, it's a powerhouse. It's going to reach its maximum indebtedness way before it reaches its end of its.
Is that true of the Heights as well, you think?
I believe I'd have to take a double check on it, but also that could just be adjusted via an amendment to the plan.
Okay, because that's one thing I think, you know, I guess at the budget meeting, it made sense to me to suspend payments for this because we have money kind of in the piggy bank to keep moving forward, but I wouldn't want to see the overall amount curtailed necessarily, I mean, without discussing it with the group. So that's why I'm curious if the overall amount would be affected by this.
No, we're not putting ourselves in the position where we're painting, getting painted into a corner.
Okay.
Yep. Will, this is Pat. What are we looking at for the total revenue of the three districts that's going to be deferred?
Yeah, let me show you that.
I'm trying to find it in the budget.
Your last two pages of your agenda for tonight's meeting show the letter that was going to go out to the specific districts, as well as the specific Columbia, Cascade, Waterfront, and Heights.
Okay. So this is, this is the revenue that would have gone into these districts.
So about $1 million.
About two.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And remember, Columbia Cascade was already, pre-COVID, was already planning on closing that down. So
right.
Was already going to happen. The only thing that was discretionary was to add in Waterfront and Heights.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that it was about two, and Columbia Cascade was done.
Yep.
Okay.
And where we get the $250,000 figure that's being thrown around, that's these two numbers added together. So
right.
The city is it's bumped that the city's getting from closing Columbia Cascade. That's been programmed for services, and that we've already built our, you know, we've been planning on that for many years. So we built it into our long-term financial projections and financial plans. And so that was programmed. It's the $250,000 that is a one-time bump that wasn't anticipated.
I guess I'm a little confused on the Columbia Cascade. You're showing it as a budget item, but yet we're at the end. So is it part of this upcoming budget or not?
It's part of the amount that's being released. It's being released.
Okay. It's being released. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Will, I think this kind of, I don't want to cut anyone off. Tina and Clint, I appreciate both of you guys at the budget meeting. I wasn't there. I felt like my email to the group was a little reactive, and I wish I would have been at that meeting, but I would have probably had the same response, but I would have been able to curtail my response by having a better understanding of, again, Urban Renewal is not giving this money to COVID relief. The city of Hood River is. The city of Hood River is using the money from this deferred tax increment spending, which leads us to the next conversation that came out of the budget meeting, which, Will, I think you're asking us to discuss here tonight. And I don't want to jump ahead, you can present it how you want, but how Urban Renewal should look at potential COVID relief. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah, that was I think it was Councillor Saunders brought that up during the budget committee, and it got into a fairly long deliberation. I think the whole entire Urban Renewal budget committee meeting was about an hour and a half, which is quite a bit longer than we usually do because there was so much discussion about this. And where we kind of left it was, there's a lot of differing opinions, and let's table it, but bring it back within the next 30 days. So I was thinking, you know, the normal process is advisory committee makes a recommendation, and then Urban Renewal Agency Board makes a decision. To get that done within 30 days was a necessary step, was to have the discussion with you at this meeting, at this regularly scheduled meeting.
And I don't think you don't have a specific recommendation on this, do you?
It was not in the proposed budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was also discussion at this budget meeting about the discretionary funds of Urban Renewal sitting in an account.
What appropriations, if the board chose to use them after budget adoption, could be purposed for this? And contingency, it can be purposed for anything mid-year that the board wants to use it for. It just takes a majority vote to access budgeted contingency appropriations. So I outlined how much contingency or appropriations were in each district, as well as, you know, the Columbia Cascade just generally has a lump sum for final redevelopment project, which is a pretty broad definition and certainly could be used for a COVID response type spending program if the advisory committee member, if you wanted to do that and if the board approved it. Obviously, we can only spend up to maximum indebtedness. So anything that we spend on COVID relief comes out of other agency priorities.
Are there any questions from the advisory council at large?
This is, this is Clint. I had the same response afterward that you had, Jack, that it's kind of coming out of left field. And that's how I felt in the meeting, that this is an unrelated topic for a whole different term of concern than this advisory board is trying to address, and that the budget committee effectively for the urban growth is trying to address. It's much more short term and reactionary and not long term planning that's going to affect a considerably more people and more businesses down the road, businesses that aren't here yet, businesses that may not be here next year. And I don't know if there's an immediate need. There probably is for relief for short term, but I still pretty strongly feel like it's an inappropriate use of even discretionary funds at this time, as hard as that is to say. But I don't know if my business is going to be here next year either, but this is long-term stuff. This is safety stuff for kids that haven't been born yet, that need to get to school and to houses and to parks and to pools and to cross streets safely. And it's not about my livelihood and my business. So that's my two cents on that.
Thank you, Clint. And I heard you, I watched the Zoom meeting, and I appreciate both you and Tina speaking up and getting, being inquisitive as far as what was happening.
Yeah, and I'll echo Clint, because I think he and I were both on the same page at the last meeting, and I've thought about it some more, and I also still feel the same way. I mean, I feel like urban renewal is kind of a special pot of money, and it's really designed for kind of long-term, you know, more visionary, more permanent infrastructure changes, whether it's, you know, sidewalks or ADA ramps or you know, over, you know, the overhead lines, bearing the overhead lines, whatever it may be. Yeah, I think this is stuff that we want to see the results of 20 years from now, 50 years from now, are still, you know, our community is still reaping benefits from it. And so while this pandemic obviously is wreaking havoc in all sorts of ways, I don't feel that that's what urban renewal is for. I think it's for more the long-term improvements to our community, and I think we should stick in that lane and not use it for this.
Thank you, Tina.
This is Pat. I have to agree with Tina on that, because I've been out of the loop here for the last few weeks, and I read all of this this afternoon before the meeting. And you know, if the city wants to use 250 some thousand to turn around of their money by not drawing on the urban renewal money and using that, but I think urban renewal money needs to stay with urban renewal. I really feel strongly like that.
I don't know if this is like our discussion about it, or if there's some other things, so I'll just throw my two cents in. But I mentioned it at the budget meeting too, that I would consider this, but I would, if we did consider doing some kind of funding thing, I would want to like reevaluate the maximum indebtedness. Like we could do that one time or something through for the loan, or I remember some talks about that. We could like reset it so we are getting more money. Like I would want to reset it so we don't really take away money from the what we're doing with the urban renewal that we would be asked getting more money overall, and that's how we're able to share money now. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but like that's kind of my just one second.
Can I just say that's the cutest photo bomb ever?
That would be my stipulation about doing some loans right now.
So you, I just watched the budget meeting. You guys were there. I think my interpretation was there was some confusion on if the funds were accessed, that they would be accessed in a broad stroke for the community at large, whereas there would only be accessible to the specific districts and those specific tax properties within there. So it wouldn't, for those of you that were at the budget meeting, did you have that feeling that it was more like an accessible pot of money that was going to be used at large, or did they realize that it was only for the specific districts that those funds would be available?
I think there's a lot of ways to cut up a pie. And there's a lot of creative ways to do financing of this kind of thing and to use funds now for bills later and vice versa. But for the life of me afterwards, thinking about this and talking about it, I couldn't imagine an equitable way to cut it up and pass it out, whether it's $250,000 or $2.5 million or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Who's going to make the decision of who gets what and how much and when? It's just going to create chaos. And so I think it's a bad idea in any way for the city to get involved in this. I realize that the federal mechanism is atrociously badly thought out and knee-jerky, but it is what it is, and that's what our federal government's supposed to do. And for, I don't know, I'll stop there. I think it's a bad idea. I think you get.
Yeah, Jack, to answer your question, it sort of felt like a moot point to me because I think we were sort of against the concept, so we didn't get down into the weeds too much. I mean, that was my concern too, is like, how do you figure out what businesses are deserving? And, you know, all of a sudden you're talking about taking tax dollars and then helping out some businesses, but not others. And a little bit of it felt to me like this, yeah, like the federal program where we don't know what to do, so let's just throw a bunch of money at it, you know? And I guess I don't want to see us do that. I don't think that's in the city's best interest for us to do that with taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. And I kind of to tag along with that, I do look at the fact that there is, you know, the waterfront could use up their entire budgeted contingency for the pipe. And so then the waterfront affected businesses in the waterfront could not receive any aid if it wasn't a large pool. So, I mean, yeah, just right there, you're singling out the waterfront to not receive any aid, whether or not it's decided there it's needed. But I think I kind of agree with you guys. Just, I think, come about it a different way. I think we're struggling with this. We have a meeting next week in the Dalles for our urban renewal agency to see how the city's going to take, move funds around. And of course, we're facing a $650,000 deficit for this next budget cycle. So, you know, it's a real issue. But I think, you know, just in the fact that you can't spend money from one district to the other, I think it creates an issue, yeah, where you're singling out. So I wouldn't agree with it.
Yeah, and I also felt like the Heights has some wiggle room. Like we could extend, get more money from the Heights, but the other ones we really couldn't. So then I'd rather see the money going to the parking project in the downtown. And like I would hate to take away from those last projects in the waterfront with the pipe thing and like, it sounded like it was either one or the other with those two things. And like that, I don't know if I really want to take away the last projects from those districts to do something. And some, the other guy, I don't really know who he was. He was like an extra person at the budget meeting, pointed out that like the amount of money we're talking about wouldn't even really make that huge of an impact for, if you spread it out among all the businesses, everybody's getting like this tiny amount that is a little bit helpful, but not like make it or break it helpful. And you know, it's not really going to fix. It might help a little bit, but if that's going to run out again, and then you're still in a stuck situation. So it didn't sound like from what he was saying that it sounded like very useful too. So.
Oh yeah. And I think that was Grant Paulson from the Vagabond. I believe that's who that was. You're talking about.
I forgot about this. You may all know this, or some of you may know this, but today the House passed almost unanimously an extension of the repayment window, that 8-week window for repaying the PPP loan to 24 weeks. That has a very significant impact on how that may work. And of course, it still has to go through the Senate, but they expect it to pass. So that's positive news, I think.
So I think you're looking for a recommendation from Urban Renewal. And I think everybody has chimed in. Abby, do you have any questions or anything?
No, I don't have any questions. The things that I was concerned about have already been sort of addressed. And it's just, I'll just express that it's, one, my internet connection is very unstable at this time. And just the fact that we had a meeting canceled prior to the budget meeting, I just think things felt a little disconnected and disrupted, and that's to be expected. I feel like we're all mostly on the same page as far as, you know, the purpose for the Urban Renewal Funds, and, you know, I understand the circumstances it's been addressed so far. So
Will, I think if I'm capturing the essence of what we're talking about, is it would be our recommendation not to use Urban Renewal money for COVID relief. And that doesn't, and we're all affected by this economically and society. It doesn't mean that we're not passionate about those that that are struggling with this. Many of us are. It just means that this isn't the appropriate bucket of money to help with this. Did I kind of encapsulate the message from our group? I mean, we don't need to vote or do we need to vote or make a motion?
I think that would be helpful to have it documented, and then I can say specifically during budget adoption that committee deliberated on this and had a unified voice, or, you know.
Then I would suggest that the motion, let's wordsmith this, but the motion should be that Urban Renewal Funds should be used within the scope of Urban Renewal, not for extrinsic relief. Or I don't know how to wordsmith that, because it makes feel like.
Jack, you're talking about the contingency funds, right? Making sure that's not being used for anything other than Urban Renewal.
And we're talking, I think, funds in general.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion that we, I mean, I don't know if this is wordsmith or not, but that we reject the idea of using Urban Renewal Funds for short-term economic relief, and prefer that we retain the use of their original purpose for long-term improvements to the districts.
I'll
as intended that. Or something.
I'll second that.
And we're being recorded, so we'll just go roll call. We have a motion and a second. I vote
aye.
Yes.
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 Perfect. Will, it looks like our unanimous recommendation through that motion is not to proceed.
Okay. Yeah. The only other, the only item that I had there was considerations as to what a program would be if the advisory committee wanted to do one. So I think we can skip over that. And that's the only only other thing, that's the only, that's all I had for tonight.
Are there any other items from the members?
I just have a question for Will, and I know maybe it's nothing, but I was just curious if any progress is being made with MIG or if everything's just been on hold for this whole couple months. I understand if it has. If there's anything to update us, can you do that?
Yeah, I've got the scope and budget handed to me. I just blanked on his name. But our project contact at MIG did it the first 2 weeks of quarantine in Seattle, sent it over to me. And then we were sort of hit. And I've just been scrambling, getting budget together and all the city responses. So I haven't been able to give it a thorough look. And obviously, whatever was written will need to maybe at least configure a bit the public participation component of it. So it's going to take some detailed work to get something to the URAC. I would probably expect late June or early July, honestly.
Do you have any idea if we'll have a meeting then in June?
That would be the only thing to meet on. Well, I don't know. Actually, the other districts, let me think. There could be some issues on waterfront. We could have a better funding plan together to propose and get approved for the water line, a little bit more fleshed out. And also, depending on if we choose a site for the police department downtown, so I know we've always been kind of on the bubble of should we do a parking garage, should we not do a parking garage? Obviously, if the only site to build a police station on is a city parking lot, that kind of pushes us off the bubble and lets us know that's a good use of the last remaining sources of the Cascade district. And so that would be something to discuss with this committee as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Urban renewal funds for Columbia Cascade, that would be within the scope. The police department would be within the scope.
We can't use it on the police department. But
the parking garage?
But yeah, if the police department takes away a bunch of parking, urban renewal funds could be used to build a parking garage.
Yeah.
And then what about the water down in the waterfront? What's going on there?
Yeah. Actually, let me walk you through some of the calculations. Does everyone, or maybe I'll ask the committee, this wasn't on the agenda. Is everyone okay if I kind of walk through some of the calculations that I've gone through with the city council?
Okay. Sure.
Sure.
Okay, let me pull up the spreadsheet here. And let me know if I've already gone through, I've gone through this so many times. Let me know if actually I did go through this with everyone. There we are. All right, thanks for sticking with me while I find the file. Okay, I think this is it. So I'm going to share my screen here. Can everyone see this Excel spreadsheet?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
So the waterfront storm line is going to be about $4.8 million total. $4 million of that is going to be for publicly owned portions of the project. So that's what's underneath the street. But $800,000 of it is going to be costs that private owners are going to have to incur to reconnect to the new line. So recap the situation. We have an old line from the 1960s that was built very, very, very deep below the low water line of the Columbia River. So it's constantly surcharged and it goes underneath buildings, which is not where you want any lines. Utility lines should be underneath roadways so they're accessible. So because we're moving the line to the right of way and raising it up so that it's gravity fed, all the private owners that have built their systems to connect to that low, very deep system will have to incur a lot of costs. But that 4.8 is the cheapest solution overall, regardless of who pays. So we could have done something that was that put no costs on private owners, but the cost to the city would be $5-6 million+ because we wouldn't be able to have it be gravity fed because we have to keep it low. So we'd have to put in a series of pumps and things like that. So to some extent, there's an argument as to why maybe there's a reason to help out the private side of this is because costs were sort of pushed onto them to make the whole project as cheap as possible. Does that make sense or any questions on that?
So, sorry, so the private organizations are going to pay this $800,000?
They will need to, yeah, because they, okay. Or else their storm water will flood their properties.
Okay.
Because it won't connect to a system to convey it away anymore.
There was some discussion regarding that $800,000 that urban renewal funds could be accessed to help those property owners, correct?
Correct, yeah, that's where I'm sort of walking through. Mm-hmm. So, what's called a one-stop funding meeting that the Business Oregon puts together. It's a great program that they have where they get kind of a unified set of facts and project scope, and then they send it to everyone in the federal and state level who may be able to fund a project like it, and we all meet together. So, gosh, it was about 20 individuals, including and the Port of Hood River was there, and we all met together at the wastewater treatment plant. And everyone said what they could contribute. So, I built this spreadsheet to kind of toggle different funding scenarios. So we do know that we've been given by this state of Oregon has allocated $1.7 million in lottery funds. So let's take that off the top. As you'll see, that funding gap went from 4 million down to 2.3 because I plugged in that we're getting 1.7 from the state. Now, through that one-stop meeting, we were identified that the Department of Environmental Quality and the USDA have loan programs that are partially forgivable. And so we'll want to max those out to the greatest extent possible. And the DEQ one is 50% forgivable. So you'll see I'm going to plug in $1 million into this cell, but you're only going to see the funding gap reduced by $500,000 because it is a loan. Did I get that right? Yeah. Okay. And then, so we'll want to max that out because it's 50% forgivable. And then we'll move on to the USDA, which is the amount that's forgivable is variable based on need and project priorities, their funding priorities. We don't know how much of that is going to be forgivable right now, but they said to plan for planning purposes, they said 15%. So obviously we want to max out that to the greatest extent possible. And that still leaves us with $1.35 million funding gap. And then all that's left is local sources. And local sources would be, we could do a local improvement district the same way we did for state street improvements, where on a on an equitable formula, we just apply it as an assessment of all the benefiting properties. So we could finish up there. Basically, everyone gets a tax bill. Urban renewal, this infrastructure is a textbook example of blight that urban renewal is meant to alleviate. So we use urban renewal funding for either side of the equation, the public or the private. Or since it's a stormwater.
Okay.
Since it's a stormwater project, we could borrow and have the stormwater utility charges pay it back. But then everyone who has a stormwater on their bill, so people in the Heights, people in West, all of them would see their stormwater utility bill to pay for this
project. Hey, Will, you're getting cut out a lot. Can everybody mute except Will, please? And thank you.
Oh, thanks, Clint. Yeah, that helps with bandwidth. So we talked through each one of these scenarios, and I toggled, you know, say we had $1 million come in from a local improvement district. I calculate down here, we have roughly what that would mean to the different entities that own property. Notice one of the biggest entities that owns property down there is the wastewater treatment plant. So that's going to hit, that would hit sewer ratepayers anyway. But after going through this exercise of toggling a bunch of different scenarios, the city council pretty much landed on, if urban renewal can cover this, oops, 1, 3, 5, 3, 8.5. If urban renewal can get us across the finish line, let's have it do it. So that's kind of where we're at right now as the going direction. But we haven't solidified it yet, and that's why we may have another meeting on this in the future, is because this is not guaranteed. This is not awarded by any means, the amount that we're getting in forgivable loans from the DEQ and USDA. So that's absolutely just a plug value at this point.
Thank you, Will. One thing I was going to mention earlier, but I think I can mention it now, is sometimes we need to remind ourselves as Urban Renewal Advisory Council that these monies that we're talking about and these monies that we're suggesting that we offer to those properties down there are generated from those properties. Those, it's based on the taxes that they pay. So in essence, it is almost like an LID specific to those properties. So I know we're not looking to get support or not on this, but this is, to me, right in the wheelhouse of what urban renewal can do specific to property owners within a specific district. So we'll see when this comes to fruition at our next meeting or meeting after.
Thanks. And maybe the one other thing I know, just on the police station going to the Cascade District, I'll email out to everyone the staff report on the site analysis that went to City Council on last Tuesday, so everyone can kind of get up to speed on siting of a police facility and how that might impact Columbia Cascade District. We had recommended the Cascade lot for a number of reasons that I don't think I need to go into, because the City Council is not interested in using the Columbia Cascade lot. They kind of landed on the State Street lot, and they wanted us to look at the Columbia lot, which we had not looked at before. So the final decision on Tuesday was go back to the architects, add a little bit more contract authority, and get them the same report as all the other sites for Columbia, and then bring it all back to them. So I'll give you that staff report. You'll see the recommendation of the Cascade lot. I just want you to know that did not get traction, and it's still under consideration. We haven't chosen a site yet.
Will, is the, it may be too small a lot, but is the condemned site that was half of Shepherd's on the downhill side, is that an available space?
The Sloshers. Raised?
Yeah.
I think that one's too expensive to develop, because it's all the site itself, the flat portion would be too small. That's an interesting spot, because it's, have you seen the parcel? It's like a bow tie. And it has parking behind Maui Myers properties there. So it'd be interesting for someone to develop. One of the things that we want to look at.
No, I'm not talking. Schlosser's is the one where the boat yard burned. The one that the Shepherd's maintenance building or the Shepherd tractors. Oh. That one got condemned, right?
I don't think
there's something in it now, but it's most of that block, the back half of the block,
right next to City Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Farmers Irrigation. Farmers Conservation Alliance is in there.
Not available. We looked at
that. Actually, Steve Wheeler and I toured that building. It's an old building. They poured a lot of money and time and effort getting that. I mean, it turned out really nice. We just saw it and we're just like, can't use this for a public safety building.
Got it.
Yeah. Great.
That's all right. If there's nothing else from the members, we can adjourn our meeting, I believe, Will.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good night.